You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Last week we talked about the two men on the way to Emmaus, and they were discussing the events that had just taken place in Jerusalem, the crucifixion of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus drew alongside, and then it said he opened up the scriptures concerning himself. Can you imagine the incredible teaching? He started with Moses, then the prophets, then the Psalms. And they were absolutely blown away. In fact, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures up to us? And then when they compelled him to stay at their house, he got the bread and he blessed it and then he broke it. And suddenly their eyes were open. That's what happens when you read the word. Expect your eyes to be opened. And then he went to Jerusalem to meet up with the 11 disciples that were in Jerusalem. And it says this, he opened their understanding. In one version it says he thoroughly opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. You know, I think sometimes we'd rather have visions and experiences than read scriptures. But Jesus said, you will find him in the scriptures. Now we can have both, but we find him mostly when we read the word of God. And so before we start this message, part three of 2020, what do you see? I want to remind you, because you need to grasp hold of this. I want to remind you where you're seated. In Ephesians 2, 6, it says, he has made us to sit with him in heavenly places. This is how it's in one translation. Giving us joint sitting with him. You are actually sitting. You have joint sitting. Now, let me say something here. Sometimes when we minister the word of God, sometimes when you read the word of God, it's just words. But today it's going to be different for you. You are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. I actually had a dream the other day that I was talking to the Father. I was seated at the right hand of the Father. I didn't see his face, but I can see the outline. And you and I have been made to sit with Christ. Seating together with him at the right hand of the Father. See, we start from this position of strength. Seeing things from his position. Not from our own position. I remember going to a country church back in South Australia. And we were flying into this country town. The Holy Spirit said to me, tell the church that they are looking through the binoculars the wrong way. And that's how it is at times for us. He's at a distance, but he's not. Come on, he's going to turn the binoculars where he can see you. He's closer than you think. You know what the biggest problem is in the body of Christ today? Spiritual blindness. What do I mean? Spiritual blindness to what Jesus has done for us. When you're spiritually blind to what Jesus has done for you, then you're always trying to do something that's already yours. You're always trying to make something happen that's already happened. Spiritual blindness is one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ, and it's blindness to what Jesus has done for you and I. But this year, 2020, we're going to enter into a season of clarity. Holy Spirit is so eager. He's so eager to open up the word to you. He's so eager to make Jesus real to you. Now imagine if you were physically blind, naturally, and I took you into a room that was absolutely flooded with light. Ceilings, walls, it's just lit up. You'd never know it. You would never know it. And same thing true of a Christian. You're in Christ because you're in the light, but we can still be spiritually blind and not know it. We can be blind to the things that Jesus has done for us. You know, for instance, let me show you what I mean. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says every spiritual blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms has already, come on church, get excited, has already, you can say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, run around, it won't embarrass me. Won't make me nervous. Already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All because He sees us wrapped into Christ. That's how He sees you. It's been lavished upon us. Every spiritual blessing. In 2 Peter 1, 3, it says, everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Phil. By His divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who has called us by name and invited us to come to Him through a glorious manifestation of His goodness. You have it. We have it. We can be blind to our salvation. We can be blind to the blessings of God. Blind to the things that has been made available to us because we are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. But we don't know it. When you read the Apostle Paul's letters, his writings, 164 times he talks about you being in Christ. In Ephesians alone, 35 times he talks about you and I being in Christ. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he addressed it to a group of believers who were rich beyond measure in Christ, yet they were living as beggars only because they were ignorant of their wealth. They were spiritually blind. Because you can't see, you're still struggling to get what you've already got. You're trying to get God to do what He's already done. That's spiritual blindness. But I've got good news for you. It's changed. The turn of the century, turn of this year, it's changed. 2020. It's going to be different. Now, I want to look at two passages of Scripture, one from Isaiah 61, verse 1, and Luke chapter 4, verse 18. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why don't you wake up in the morning sometime and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me"? Remember, Grant, when we were in Malaysia, I think Tim was with us as well. That was the prayer that we prayed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Whatever I'm confronted with, whatever I'm met with, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm going to meet whatever situation that arises today with the Spirit of the Lord being upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now it's similar in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now they're both saying the same thing. Both verses are saying the same thing, but there is a slight difference. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, it says, he's talking about opening of the prison to those who are bound. But in chapter 4 verse 18, he talks about recovery to the sight of the blind. And it's interesting in Isaiah 61 verse 1, all the phrases are the same as they are in Luke 4:18, except for one. Good tidings to poor, both scriptures. Heal the brokenhearted, the same for both scriptures. Proclaim liberty to the captives, that's the same in both scriptures. Opening of prison doors, that's different. Isaiah, he's saying opening of the prison doors. But in Luke, it says the recovery of sight to the blind. And remember Jesus saying this. He changed the words here. So what's going on here? Well, in Isaiah 61, the phrase in Hebrew means the opening of the eyes. When he's saying the open of the prison doors, the Hebrew phrase translates it as the opening of the eyes. So in both verses, it talks about the opening of your eyes so you can see something you couldn't see. Opening your eyes will be responsible for delivering you from captivity. You're no longer in prison. The doors are open. You will see what's rightfully yours in Christ. No longer will you be a prisoner to blindness as to what is rightfully yours and for the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But there's more. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Jesus came to release the captives from the law that declared them unrighteous. He has freed us from the law that declared you and I as unrighteous. And from the law that declared them unacceptable to God, and to free us from performance-based religion. You can clap. Not at me, at the Lord. And in order for God's people to be free from performance-based religion, he has to open their eyes to what has already taken place. The recovery of sight to the blind. He wasn't talking about people with physical, natural blindness. He said, I need to recover the sight to those who are blind to the gospel of grace so that they could be delivered from the captivity of the law, so they'll stop going around doing something to get God to do what's already been done. Amen. He said, until I can get their eyes open so that they can see what I've already done for them, they won't see. So Jesus came to open prison doors. He came to open our spiritual eyes. Come on, let's thank him for a moment. Father, we want to thank you for opening our eyes to the truth. Now, there's a wonderful verse in 2 Kings chapter chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. But I'll give you a bit of a background story to this. The king of Syria, every time he would go, say to his servants, we're going to go to such and such a place, the prophet Elisha would say to the king of Israel, hey, listen, don't go over there because the king of Syria is over there. He's got his army there. Every time that would happen. And so the king of Syria got so mad, he said to his servants, he said, who's telling Elisha what's happening? Are you one of you servants talking to Elisha? And one of the servants piped up and he said, no. Elisha knows even the conversation you have in your bedroom. That would be scary, wouldn't it? And the king of Syria got so angry, and this is what he said in verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? You've been in a situation like that before? What shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them. The servant was talking to Elisha because he could only see what was surrounding him. The Syrian army. He couldn't see that there was nothing to worry about because he can only see what was right in front of him. He was blind to what Elisha saw. But in the next verse, verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes. Come on, make that a prayer, church. Open our eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains, come on, was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So you have to be careful that you don't call what you see right now as reality. Don't call what you see right now as reality. You see needs. You see the electricity bill. You see your x-ray. You see what the doctors report. But whose report are you going to believe? And so you see the things that are right in front of you. We need to see from the position where we're seated. And that's why I have a strong conviction that this year is going to be different for us. Different for you. Dare to believe it. God is going to open our eyes so we can see beyond what we can see. Temporary reality is what you can see now. But when you have clarity, you will see beyond what you could see right now. And you'll be able to see the things that there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be fearful of. Amen. It's seeing it from his viewpoint. We say get so caught up as seeing it from our viewpoint. See, temporary reality says there's this sickness. But eternity reality says by his stripes, I am healed. Temporary reality this says there's a lack. But eternal reality says God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Temporary reality says I see empty seats. Eternity reality says I need more seats. Where are you looking from? When God is going to do for us this year, what God is going to do for us this year, he's going to take us out of the temporary into the eternal. He's going to heal us of blindness, and we are going to be able to see beyond the situation that's facing us today, and that he will put us in a position where we can now receive what he has already done for us. You know, we sing these songs, and I'm thinking, God, do I really believe what I'm singing? They are faith-filled songs. You know, you'll be able to say to the devil, "You can't fool me, devil. I know what's right in front of me, but that's just temporary. I'm looking beyond what I can see, and I'm going to see eternity, eternal reality in Jesus' name." You know, one of the things that I'm sure numbers of us have pondered over this incredible scripture, the fact that he has given us so much power. He's given us so much power. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 1 verse 18 to 20. "I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones." That's what you are, his holy ones. "I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of his power." Amen, hallelujah, Jesus. I believe it. When I say this once more, I want to hear a rousing hallelujah. Let me read it to you again. "I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to us through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you." Wow. Is this scripture? Am I reading out a secular book? I'm reading out a life-breathing book. This, the Word of God. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in heavenly realm. This will happen when your eyes are enlightened. And I declare in Jesus' name, open their eyes. Open my eyes. In Jesus' name. You're going to recognize things you hadn't seen clearly before. There are things you can see now that you couldn't see before. That's fine, Pastor Phil. I accept that. But what do I need to do to cooperate with God to make it happen? I'm glad you asked. Well, the first thing that will give clarity is to get into the Word. If you want clarity, get into the Word before your coffee or during the coffee. I had a big question mark when my daughter said about coffee first. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He was going to illuminate their minds, their hearts. The primary way that God speaks to us is through his Word. Oh, Pastor Phil, I've got to get up early. I go to bed late and I'm so tired. He wants to illuminate your mind and heart. That's why our leaders have encouraged us to have this 2-year plan of reading God's Word. It'll help you to open up your Word. It'll help you to see Jesus in the pages of Scripture. In Psalm 109, in verse 130, it says, the entrance of your word. It has to have an entrance. The entrance of your word gives light, illumination. It gives understanding to the simple. The word entrance means instruction, means revelation. It means explanation of the word of God. This morning it's explained to you so you can have light. I like the Living Translation. It says, the teaching of your word gives light so that even the simple can understand. So there's hope for me. In Jesus' name. John 16, verse 15. I shared this last week, but it bears repeating. Everything the Father has is mine. Everything. That is what I meant when I said that the Holy Spirit will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Everything. We have access by the Holy Spirit to everything the Father knows, to everything the Father has, to everything the Father owns. We have access to everything that Jesus had while he was ministering on earth. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same authority and power that Jesus had. He has given us that authority. In fact, he said in Luke 11, I think, he said, I give you power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. The word trample means trample with contempt. You don't tiptoe through the tulips. You trample upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because he fully lives in you. He fully lives in you. And you will not be spiritually blind in 2020. You will have clarity in Jesus' name. I've got an hour to go, so I want to finish with this verse. Genesis 13, verse 14. But before I do, let me give you a background to the story. God said to Abraham, that was his name before he named him Abraham, Abraham. He said, I want you to leave your family, your kindred. Go to a country that I'm going to show you. So Abraham did that. But he did something wrong. He took Lot with him. He was not supposed to take Lot with him, but he took Lot with him. And there was problems with Lot's shepherds and Abraham's shepherds. There was strife. There was arguments. There's disagreements. So Abraham said to Lot, he said, listen, there's a problem here, and it's becoming too much. He said, you choose. I'll give you the first shot. You choose where you want to go, and I'll go the complete opposite. Listen to this. Lot never asked God which direction to take. He chose the plains that were near Sodom and Gomorrah. And you read about it, the wicked cities. And when he left, this is what God said to Abraham. Verse 14, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look northward, southward, eastward, westward. No limitations. The scope was amazing. Lift up your eyes now after he separated from Lot. See, Lot means a covering. It means a veil over your eyes. The implication is to keep you in check. You have had teachers look over your shoulder to see that you weren't cheating. Keeping you in check, limiting you, holding you back. The veil. To wrap closely, that's what it meant. Ask yourself this question. Is there anything that is covering my eyes and stopping me from seeing clearly? Is there anything, Holy Spirit, as David said, search me. Holy Spirit, is there anything that's covering my eyes? Is there a lot in my life that I should not have taken with me? Is there things that I still haven't let go? Is there a lot in my life?